You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. I am so thrilled to be bringing you one of my absolutely favorite people in the adult industry. She is my duet partner on our latest hit song, Sucking Dicks, as you may have seen in our episode filmed live at the AVN show just last month. And she is your favorite award-winning MILF and Brazzers contract star, the one and only Alexis Fox.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You know what's so funny is that little video of us, like, you know, we started singing Sucking Dicks before. Yeah. someone commented that, like, I had a good singing voice, which is hilarious because I have a terrible singing voice. It's like the one thing that I'm actually kind of embarrassed about.
Something you don't do in front of others.
No, I don't do karaoke. But except for now, my daughter insists that I sing her the song from Sleeping Beauty all the time. So she calls it Princess Booty. Like, mommy, sing Princess Booty.
I love it.
And she makes me sing it like several times before she'll go to bed. And so I'm like, and I try to like not sound terrible. And I know my husband's like on the other side of the wall going like, oh. Just like cringing.
Putting things in his ears.
Yeah, but I mean, she loves it, so that's all that matters. But yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it's improving.
Maybe we have a shot here.
I think we should record that. Put it on some vinyl.
Oh my God. What if we actually did that?
I think it'd be great.
If we actually like wrote a song called Sucking Dicks and like did, I feel like it would be a hit.
I think so too.
It doesn't matter that I have a terrible voice. Everywhere. Can I just auto-tune it anyways and sound like Lil Jon and it'll be fine?
Absolutely. They have everything for that. I dated someone a long, long time ago that was in the music industry. And after I saw how, like, they put her voice together and everything like that, I was like, oh, my God.
Is
like,
anything,
you could be anybody.
Is anything real anymore?
Like, nothing. I know. It's scary.
It is scary. Oh, my God. So, as mentioned, we got to briefly chat at the AVN show. Mm-hmm. And then before that, the last time we spoke was actually we did a live interview during quarantine. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I did it. Yeah, we were all stuck at home. So I was like, I'm going to do I called them quarantine chats, just do a bunch of like live interviews with people. But that's last time we've had like a long form interview.
That is true. That seems like forever ago.
It right?
Weirdly enough.
You know what's so crazy is I was thinking this the other day. Have you started watched a movie. Have you seen Pearl?
No.
Okay, so it's like a origin story from another movie called X. It's really good. But anyways, it's actually set in the time of that first pandemic that like nobody knew existed until this one came around. It was like in the early 1900s, I think.
Wow.
It was like the Spanish flu. I probably have the dates wrong, but it was a long time ago. So there's people wearing masks and stuff like that. And I was just thinking to myself, watching this, going, Jesus Christ, we literally just had a pandemic like 2 years ago. And I remember thinking, when is life going to get back to normal? When are we going to be able to go around without masks on? And I like couldn't wait for that day. And now that we're at that day, it feels so crazy that that ever happened.
Yeah. It feels like a blurb.
Yeah.
Like just some kind of weird whoop in programming in some sort.
So. Yeah. But yeah. COVID changed people's lives drastically in so many ways. You know, a lot of people shifted careers or literally just, you know, changed the way that they looked at life. How did that whole period affect you? Do you feel like it changed you in any way?
I think it changed a lot of my external living. Mm-hmm. It gave me time to kind of sit back and really look at everything. Mm-hmm. Where before, you know, even currently now, you're on the go. You kind of really have to learn to stop. Okay, what's all going on here? What do I need in my life? Why don't I need in my life? Who places things? Yeah. All those things. And it kind of gave me an opportunity to really weed out what I needed to weed out. Mm-hmm. It was a great opportunity for expansion for me. I was able to really set forth some goals and really just kind of nipped away at them and mm-hmm. crushed them as I went. Mm-hmm. Really just kind of cleared the way. It's like, it was good for me in yeah. that perspective. And it also, like, what's really important to me? What my priorities are?
Yeah.
And what I valued as far as, like, gosh, just, you know, nature. Just be able to go out in nature, you mm-hmm. know, and hike. And also creating more balance in my life.
Yeah.
Was really important.
Yeah.
But, give me an opportunity to set structure for that.
Yeah, that balance thing is so hard, right? And I feel like that's something that we're always trying to find.
Yeah, I think it's always ever changing. It's going to be an ebb and flow. I mean, I think that's how life is. It's like our breath. It's in it. We inhale and we exhale. We have moments in our life where we have huge expansions. Like I feel I went through a huge expansion of the last few years, and I can feel myself withdrawing within and saying, okay, where am I going to go now? And where do I want to reevaluate myself? Mm-hmm. So with that ebb and flow, I think that's just normal. I think like we just got to learn to flow that.
Yeah. But it sounds like you're comfortable with like the ebb.
I know.
Okay, you have the expansion and then you have the pause. I feel that at least for myself, and I do feel that society pushes this idea as well that you have to constantly be hustling, constantly growing. Like if there's a moment of pause or, you know, a break that you're failing or you're getting behind.
Oh yeah, look at our numbers on Instagram and all the crap. Like, oh, your account only reached this much. Well, because I didn't post every day. Like, I don't really care. That's
true. That is
I
so
don't
true.
Because what's more important to me than anything else is my internal happiness mm-hmm. and making sure that I'm present with those people that are most important in my life, including myself. And giving myself that. So if I don't post for a couple of days, I don't care. Let the algorithm throw me on the bottom. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it'll bounce back up. And then I'll, like, have my moments where I feel, like, really creative. And I'll be, like, on my thing for a while. But I really try not to. Because I look at myself more as an artist. And I don't think, like, real art is just created, like, nonstop. We don't mm-hmm. just, like, shove that out of our veins left and right. We might have moments and periods where the creativity just might flow for us. But I think we've been sold this idea that we have to constantly create. And I just don't buy into it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it like everybody was like, oh, what's your next calendar going to be? Da 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 da. Because I did this grandiose, you know, 20, like I, it was a passion project. It was mm-hmm. something I wanted to do. And I was like, I didn't do one. I didn't feel like it.
You know, I was talking to Angela White about this actually. And she was like expressing the frustration around how, you know, she's come out, she's done something big, spectacular, whatever. She does like a media tour, she discusses it. And then people are like, so what's next? It's like, yeah, dude, I just made this thing. I just did this the big thing. I put all this work into it. Like, can we not just enjoy what I just
can we revel in it a little bit? Like I want to splash around, marinate, like let me have it for a moment.
Yeah, because then it makes accomplishing that almost not worth anything.
Yeah.
If you can't like enjoy
it's that instant gratification almost. Yeah. I mean, when people are living through their phones and not actually through their eyeballs anymore.
God, that's so true. That's so true. And it's like and I get frustrated with myself about that because I'll set this goal forth and I will work hard to achieve it and I'll achieve it. And then when I achieve it, I'll be like, what's next? I told myself that. And it's like, why can't you just like pat yourself on the back and like, appreciate where you got to? And it reminds me of that saying, you know, like it's the journey, not the destination. Mm-hmm. And it's true because whenever I hit that destination, I'm like, doesn't like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I was convinced that once I got to this point that everything that would be
like my pinnacle and everything would be fall into place and I'd be so happy with that. Yeah. And that would be the completion I was looking for. And it never is.
I think those are also like little steps along our way. You know what I mean? And like that isn't that it's never going to be completed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe at death or it will be completed in some way or some aspect.
Yeah, I mean, we're forced to wrap it up, right? Like,
I guess.
It's just like, God's like, your time is up,
man.
You know
what? You've had plenty of time here. If you haven't caught it now, we're cutting it off. Like, sorry, lady. But we do have to stop and take a moment and really do congratulate yourself. Like, mm-hmm. I noticed when I just bought my house recently, it's my first home. Mm-hmm. It was a big deal for me. And I had to like literally take a moment, and I still sit like I'll just sit around. And I'm looking. I'm like yesterday I was in my jacuzzi, and I was like, oh my god, this is mine. And I felt like I know where I'm on the right path, and it feels good. And like those moments, it's because I feel like in like this little tickle, like almost like my heart is tickling around mm-hmm. the entire structure of it. My mm-hmm. lungs feel tickly. I don't know how to describe it. I feel like I'm being tickled from the inside out. And it really, I think that's what pure joy is. And so when you reach those times of pure joy, maybe that's, you know, that's those excitement moments.
Right.
Maybe it's not just going to be like this big wow party, but like yeah. notice yourself, like get those little, start taking moments, being more aware of those moments that you just feel that tickle on the inside.
Yeah.
And those little sweet moments of joy is...
And actually be present in those moments,
yeah.
right?
And that's where that's where I think you're going to feel the tickle.
Yeah.
Is being that present. Yeah.
I find that that's another thing that I struggle with. And I remember I was reading, is it Emmett Fox? Mm-hmm. I feel like I completely just butchered his name. He wrote, someone kill me.
Which book?
I'm fucking Googling this shit because now it's going to drive me crazy.
He's I murdered like, one of my favorite authors the other day, and I guess like I was like, oh my god, I just murdered this guy's name.
I know.
I follow him.
Yes, it is Emmett Fox, The Sermon on the Mound.
Oh, okay, I've heard of that, but
yeah,
I haven't.
So it's a really great book, and this is the one I'm talking about, right? Because he's written a fucking fuck ton of these. I'm pretty sure this is the book. Anyways, my point is that he talks a lot about being present, and one of the things that really struck me. Is that he talks about going to like this beautiful meadow. He went on a hike with a friend. They like made it to this beautiful meadow that they traveled all this way to go see or something like that. And she's looking at it and she says, God, this is so gorgeous. I can't wait to come here again. And he was talking about how like even in that moment, she's not in the present. She's already in the future.
She's
of like
thinking about like
when I'm going to come back. It's like, yeah. But you're here right now.
Yeah.
Why are you thinking about like,
why did you already leave the place?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are we planning our next trip here already when you haven't even like, you know,
and I think that,
explored this.
I think that all the time, like all of these, the, you know, I mean, really like the other day I always try to work on gratitude and appreciating what I have mm-hmm. rather than wanting something more. Cause I'm always in that mode of like wanting the next thing. And I was like, I have like this great life when you come to think about it. Like I have a husband that I love. I have like a daughter that I love. I have like a career that I love. I have friends and family and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, this is like everything that I probably would have dreamed of. If I could have looked at where I'm at right now, like 20 years ago, I would have been like, oh my God, that's it. So why can't I be present in these moments and enjoy these moments that I dreamt about my whole life?
Yeah. You're going to have to do some meditation on that.
I was going to say, can't you just give me an instant gratification answer? That's what you hear. Fix me, Alexis.
It's you know, I think it, well, A, you're becoming more self-aware that you're not maybe not being present in those moments. I you know what? Honestly, I'm going to recommend just really diving into some more boxing. Mm. Boxing is a great practice of staying present in the moment because once you take your mind off of what like your breath work and all of a sudden everything's in the flow and you're like, oh, I could think something else. You're getting hit.
Yeah.
So just think about – and like what I like to do is in those moments I'm trying to train my brain like this is what being present's like. This is what mm-hmm. being present's like so that I can just continue – to be there. And my brain will automatically go into that mode. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
no, you're exercising your brain just as much as you exercise your muscles.
Yeah.
So you're training yourself to be present in those moments. And when you feel yourself picking up the phone or putting it down, or if you have an event, hire a photographer. And that way you put your phone away. I've learned to just not have my phone at events anymore and just rely on other people to do those things.
You know, that's such a good point about events, because so many times I have tried to just do everything myself to save money. And this is actually very sad, but I put on my father's funeral last month, and I was like, I'm not going to do anything. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to like be able to celebrate my dad's life. I don't want to think about shit. I don't want to like, so I hired a caterer. Carla Lane did a great job. Shout out to Carla. Thank you.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So Carla came and catered it. You know, got like an ATV person who came in with the monitor and the sound system, like just all of the things, like someone handled parking. So I didn't have to think about any of it. And afterwards I was like, I mean, as shitty as it was that like, it was my father's funeral, like a party that I never wanted to host. It was literally like one of the best parties that I've ever planned.
Maybe there's the lesson in that.
I know, right? But yeah, the event – and I was – it's funny because when I was thinking about planning all this, I thought event photographer, but I was like, it's a little weird to have an event photographer in a funeral, so maybe not for this one.
Maybe not for that one.
Maybe the next
I get why you might not want one. That's there. Really, I totally respect that.
Like, my dad died.
Oh, God. I just got a vision of what people would be doing. Like, it would be like just a constant meme in my brain right now. Stop. Not even. I shouldn't be laughing.
Oh, I know. But I mean, like, you got to laugh, man. Because, like, how else can you deal with life?
I laugh so much. I'm going to have my dimples worked on because the muscles are so tight. They just keep going in further in my face. I'm like, great. People are going to be hiking those soon. Like, little cliffhangers.
We did actually.
I do laugh a lot, though.
You do. You do. And that's, and I mentioned this when we last spoke. I mean, you have like such an infectious, positive personality. You're such a pleasure to be around. Like, everyone loves you. And you mentioned that you very much embrace the light and the dark sides of you. And, you know, we were at AVN. There was a lot of going on. Didn't have time to delve into that. Could you maybe explain a little bit more what you mean by that?
Yeah, I'm actually – I just got a new book I'm going to start reading too. It's even called The Dark Psychology of For Your Better Life or something like that. A friend of mine just recommended it to me. And, you know, like, I think a lot of people just think I just walk around always smiling and stuff like that. It's just, you know, it's your mindset on how you go through things. Mm-hmm. And know that, you know, it's kind of hard to put it also – I just do life. Yeah. I don't know how to describe everything. But – you have to be comfortable with yourself, mm-hmm. just in and out. And that's a constant, like, constant work for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I can always turn on a happy anytime. But it's also – it's nice to sit with myself when I'm sad. And it's okay to sit with myself and understand, like, what was the situation that made me angry and, you know, why do I feel that way? Mm-hmm. And I do sit in silence a lot.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend being alone and sitting in silence and really kind of figuring yourself out from the inside out.
Yeah.
And know that you're all these things, and that happiness and all these, and the way that you are is always a choice. Mm-hmm. Everything's of direct balance. You have life, you have death. Without death, it would give life no meaning because people wouldn't give a shit what they do, right?
Right.
If you didn't, if life, and then it's the same direct rebalance, if life didn't exist and we all just were like, we wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you're going to find your way through all that. And like in a pendulum on some moments, you're going to feel very light and airy into those moments. And that's great. And it's okay to find, you know, yourself in a darker moment and feel that sadness and feel the anger and understand, okay, this is what I feel right now, and feel it that moment. And that also releases you from carrying that with you. Does that make sense?
No, I can't even tell you how much that makes sense, because I think one of my biggest issues, and this is why – you know, alcohol became such a big part of my life and such a problem for me, is that I didn't want to feel those dark feelings. I only wanted to chase the happy all the time. And, you know, ultimately, like,
a lot of us do.
Turns out drinking 24/7 isn't good for you and ultimately makes you fucking miserable. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. It's actually an antidepressant. It's actually depressant.
Didn't work at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, now that I have several years of sobriety under my belt, those moments of having to feel my feelings, as unfucking comfortable as they are. And believe me, I got a heavy dose of that when my dad died. Like, so grateful to now, like, embrace that process.
Yeah.
Because the crying, you know, the allowing those feelings to be felt, to be acknowledged, is the only way that they're going to pass through you and continue on. Because you're right, you will. Otherwise, you carry them with you.
You carry it with you. And that's what makes people sick.
Yeah.
You know, if you carry and harbor any of any emotion, you know, like good, extreme goodness and extreme sadness, it's all the same. Like, it's all extremes, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to carry that, just know you're going to carry that weight. You're going to probably make yourself sick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's best to, or for me, and I can only speak from my own personal journey and everything like that. But for me, it's better for me to go in as a warrior towards these things, and try to understand it as best of my abilities, and feel it, and cry, and scream, and feel that gut-wrenching thing. Go out to the mountains, scream it out. Take a log, beat the tree, feel it.
Yeah.
You're alive. And how lucky are you to feel those feelings?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a blessing as it is.
Yeah.
So I have so much gratitude for those moments, just as much. And sometimes those catastrophic kind of unleashed moments are your catalyst into a better life and a better you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely been trying to, like, harness that. Like, okay, you know, what can I take away from my father's death? And, you know, I guess it would be like appreciation for life.
Yeah. And transmutation is a really good way of taking, like, these situations that come into our lives that could really tear us apart and are traumatic, and transmute that into something beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do with anything that comes my way. It's like, okay, I'm going to take this on. I'm going to recognize it. I'm going to hug it. I'm going to feel it the fuck out. And then I'm going to transmute that into some beautiful art, or I'm going to, like, probably that's where my calendar came from, because I was coming through something and I needed to express, you know, this feminine, divine, whatever I was feeling. You know, I did it more in a zodiac base, but I feel like we're all part of each other in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really highly recommend transmutation.
Yeah, because you're so right. I mean, the greatest pieces of art, the greatest artists, those are all been born out of, like, pain and tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's what drives creativity, is, like, awful as that is. But I guess, you know, that's the spectrum, right? You have to feel the sad to appreciate the happy. And then, and I think people also relate to, I mean, you know, some of the greatest movies of all time are those movies that, like, have those heart-wrenching moments where you really feel for them, right? But that's, like, the human condition. We all relate to that.
I can listen to a conversation and feel that, you know what I mean? But I kind of think there's such a beauty into pain. And I think it's actually really beautiful when you can kind of really kind of feel it out, feel all the wrinkles of it out.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm just very accepting of it. Was I always that way? No. I think I've just become that over time, and probably just with certain practices in my life and everything like that, and really kind of accepted, this is how it's going to go. This is how life is.
Yeah. So true.
So breathe.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick breather to hear from our sponsors, and then we're going to be right back. We all know how Manscaped is a leader in men's personal grooming, but did you know that they're now expanding their products to help take care of your face too? You have to check out their new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. It is the ultimate package that makes it easier than ever for you to craft your signature look. Trust me, guys, my husband has a beard, and the way that he trims it is everything. This beard hedger is really the only beard trimmer you will ever need. It has a titanium-coated T-blade that is tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. This is waterproof, cordless, and has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths, all with one guard, so no more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. This pro kit is so much more than a trimmer, though. It comes with 4 dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care. The Pro Beard Kit also comes with 3 free gifts, a beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. It's time for you to upgrade your game by going to manscaped.com and using our code HOLLY for 20% off plus free shipping. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, but only if you use our code HOLLY. Trust Manscaped for the only right tools for the job. You will thank me later. Everyone is different, especially when it comes to your health needs and goals. And that's why Care/of is here to make it easier than ever to stick to a vitamin routine personally tailored to your everyday wellness. Who has time to research all the different supplements on the market and figure out which ones are best for you? Care/of takes the guesswork out of getting on track with your health with their easy 5-minute quiz. They'll ask you about your lifestyle and health goals and come up with a personalized, doctor-backed recommendation on what supplements are right just for you. You'll then get your package or vitamins shipped directly to your door in individual packets that you can easily grab on your way out the door. I love the convenience of this. I'm usually in a rush, so knowing that I can just grab a few and stick them in my purse for later is so helpful. Honestly, guys, I've been using Care/of vitamins for a few years now, and it's the one part of my nutritional goals that I've been able to easily and consistently keep. They even have a free app that's there to help track your progress and how you feel. You can even earn rewards like discounts and merch when you take your vitamins daily. For 50% off of your first Care/of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code HOLLY50. That's 50% off of your first order. All you have to do is go to takecareof.com and make sure that you enter your code HOLLY50. Take care of your health with Care/of vitamins. All right, guys, we are back. So if you haven't picked up on it already, I lost my father last month. I've mentioned that many times. Sorry, I will eventually get off like the sad train and we'll talk about dicks again one day, I promise. But it's made me think a lot about death and like our short time on this earth. I mean, to be fair, like I thought a lot about death before that. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I lay awake at night and like ponder non-existence and like what is that and like how does that happen and like what's that like? If it's like nothing because it's non-existence. So I'm just wondering, like, how do you think about death? What do you think happens to us after?
Well, first, I think about it a lot. I probably talk about it a lot with my friends. I'm like, because I've already started to plan my celebration of life. Like,
really?
Oh, my God. I'm going to throw the best fucking party. There will be no sadness, like, no sad tears.
Are you going to hire a photographer, an event photographer?
I don't give a shit. Like, take a picture with me. I'll be watching. Who knows?
You look like a fucking Weekend at Bernie's situation. Totally. Just sit you up in a chair with like a hat.
Oh my God. I would love it. Oh my God. I just want everybody to have a lot of fun. And I want everybody to laugh. Like I do think about it because I'm like, you know, I think about ways of like when I do, whether it's passing on to another life or, you know, or passing, whatever. We leave this physical here. I'm not going to put a boundaries on infinity, okay? Mm-hmm. So whatever that is. I think about, like, when I leave here, how am I leaving my friends? Are they going to leave, you know, what are they going to remember me as? And I think that's important. I want them to laugh, you know, because I laugh a lot. I'm a really happy person. So don't come to my celebration of life sad. No sad tears. But, like, you know, I lived a good life. And, you know, I'm not saying, like, woohoo, I'd be excited to go tomorrow. But, like, I also understand that that is part of life. Mm-hmm. And so that makes, you know, living every single day, you know, to my fullest of whatever extent that is. And maybe my fullest is laying around on the couch that day.
Yeah.
Totally perfectly fine. To live happy and make sure that, you know, I show gratitude for all those little things in my life, like having food in my fridge, waking up, taking my first breath, having my puppies near me, be able to work at home and spend that time with them, like all those little things add up. But yeah, I do think about it. And what happens after? Man, it's just, I'm pretty sure I have guardian angels. you know, I'm sure we have like people that look, I think there's guides. I think there's been guidance throughout my life.
Yeah.
You know, what that is, I'm not exactly sure. I'm not an expert in that field. But I do talk to the universe all the time. Mm-hmm. I'll even say God, whether what that means, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that can be hugely expansive. You can also look at, you know, God isn't in each of us. That's a light. A light source. Mm-hmm. but, you know, I'm just like, and what I say is just like really my affirmations and my gratitude. Mm-hmm. I try to do that every single day.
Yeah.
That way when there's no regrets.
Yeah. It's, it's interesting because there is, you know, I think about you putting that light and love out and how people are attracted to that, right? So there is this energy that we create around ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of we talk about science in the physical, and this kind of relates to that documentary that I mentioned to you mm-hmm. when we were emailing back and forth. I don't know if you got a chance to see it.
I did. I caught a little bit of it, yeah.
Did you watch the first episode? Or
I got the first episode. Okay. I'm on close to the end of the second episode.
Okay. So sorry, guys. This documentary is called Life After Death, right?
Surviving Death.
Thank mm-hmm. you. It's on Netflix. And we watched the first episode, and I was pretty taken with it because I'm like a science person, though I also, like you, think that there's probably something else that we don't mm-hmm. understand. But I also want to hear ideas about that based in some kind of science, you know,
yeah,
like rooted in like the logical. That helps me digest it. And what I really liked about it is they had these professors and talking about consciousness and, you know, I'm basically talking about the limitations of science because we can only measure the physical and what happens when the physical brain dies and all of these crazy stories about when people's brains literally died and they had these out-of-body experiences. And I can say that my mother had something like that. So when she was giving birth to my sister, she had a C-section and they gave her too much anesthetic and her heart stopped. Wow. And she absolutely – and my mother is not like a woo-woo spiritual woman like not even close – and she absolutely like remembers floating through a tunnel, feeling super peaceful. Like all of these benchmarks that they spoke about, people who have these near-death experiences mm-hmm. have, like floating through a tunnel, some kind of portal, being able to hear everything that's going on in the room, this sense of like peace and calm. She had all of those things. So I just found all of that to be so incredibly interesting. And I really liked that first episode because it also – I liked the idea that, you know, when your brain is, you know, essentially dead, that you could still possibly hear because, you know, my father, he fell and he got a catastrophic brain bleed. That's what ended up killing him. And when we took him off life support, he was brain dead, but we were still talking to him.
Yeah.
And even though, like, in my mind, I was like, well, he can't hear us. Like, his brain isn't functioning. There was a part of me that was like, maybe he can.
Yeah.
And so that kind of gave me some comfort there. So I really liked that first episode. And then I have to say the second episode, I was kind of like, okay, this is kind of stupid.
The medium.
Yeah. Like the medium and the ectoplasm. I don't know. What did you think of the second episode? I was like,
yeah, I think I felt like I kind of lost it. I went in and out of that one a little bit,
yeah.
You know, but the first one I really did enjoy. And I think I maybe think of two things, actually. Maybe think of anesthesia. Mm-hmm. Like where do we go in our anesthesia? Where's our brains yeah. in that moment?
Yeah.
And it made me also think of ayahuasca
mm-hmm.
And going through those death-like experiences.
Which I know you've done.
Yeah. So, like, that made me think of those two things. But it's really, really interesting. And it also made me think – I lost my father a while ago. And, you know, being there and seeing how his face when – you know, when their faces go from probably just unsure to almost like there was almost like a sweeping calmness over mm-hmm. him. So it was just really interesting to kind of piece those things together and listening to these people's story.
Yeah.
You know, especially the woman with the waterfall.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that's just crazy. Feeling
yeah.
Your bones break at the same time. Like,
yeah.
Just, that's insane.
And she was like brain dead for like 30 minutes or
yeah,
she was underwater for 30 minutes.
Really
that was
long.
Nuts.
And she was a doctor, so I was like, okay, so.
Yeah, I mean, they really, like, they definitely were very careful about the kind of people that they chose to interview.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, and of course, the skeptical in me is watching this. Okay, like, she, because I think she's, like, a neurospine surgeon, so she's a very specialized field.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like, okay, even though she's a doctor, like, doctors can still, like, just talk shit. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Of course.
Like, they can still
like
be
we're,
liars.
Yeah, anybody can be human.
So what I found super interesting was that story about that woman, Pam. Who had the aneurysm.
Oh, yeah.
And they had to,
yeah.
stop her heart and, like, didn't they have to, like, drain all of her blood?
Yeah, they had to drain it out in order to drain the, like, that blood sac
aneurysm.
Or whatever. I don't even know what it is. But whatever it is, they had to drain her blood. I don't know.
It was
crazy. Like, whatever it is, it's crazy. And then she was able to basically just say about everything that was in that room.
Yeah.
In the room.
And she was, like, and I also don't understand how she was brain dead for an hour. I think it was. Didn't they say 50 minutes?
Wow. I don't
it was an enormous amount of time.
Yeah.
Obviously, there were some other things going on that kept her brain from dying off that they didn't explain in the episode. But yeah, she had this out of body experience, and she was able to like see everything and explain in detail the tools they used, where people were standing. And I think for that, what got me was when they interviewed the doctor, the surgeon who performed on her, and he was like, I cannot explain how she knew these things.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, what does he have to gain from this?
Do you think that's part of consciousness? Subconsciousness?
Maybe that's kind of
like there's an area in there that we just cannot explain.
That's what that one professor was saying. He was like, sure, the brain dies. He's like, but what about consciousness?
Yeah, that's not dead.
Like that, we don't understand that.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things that, you know, that like that sixth sense or something that we can't really explain. Like, you know how you can feel it when someone's staring at you?
Oh,
you don't see them.
Thoughts are things. If I have a thought, I'm like, oh, I got to be careful.
Yeah.
Because they will transpire somewhere along the way. So I make sure my thoughts are really like precise and good.
Yeah.
And if I start to have a bad one, it's another
even
thing.
That one basic thing that like, because everyone's had that experience where like they feel someone staring at them. You don't see them. So like there's no physical explanation as to why you know there's someone behind you staring at you, but you feel it. So what is that?
Or you just know something's going to happen and then all of a sudden does.
Yeah. I don't know. Some crazy shit.
Yeah, that's some connectivity.
It's some crazy shit.
We're plugged in.
What do you think our purpose on this planet is? Do we have a purpose? Or are we just like all, you know, trying to organize chaos? Is that like what life is?
I think it could be a little bit of both of those things. I think also purposes, I think, might change throughout times as you go through like these different life cycles. You know, whether it's like, you know, I think we go through different cycles, whether it's like – I feel like I went through a 6-year life cycle recently and it tapered off. So now I'm like re-entering another life cycle of mine. It's like different long chapters or something.
Yeah.
And I think like each of those, the purpose changed, you know? So I think right now I'm trying to figure out what's my new purpose. Where am I going to go? Because like I expanded all this amount.
Yeah.
Cleared out all this stuff, this baggage. So now I'm like starting fresh and new. Now where do I go?
Yeah.
So I think my purpose changed.
But do you know what I mean, though? Because I'm thinking about it on a more general level. Like, is our purpose to be happy? Is our purpose to bring joy to other people? Is our purpose to, like, change the lives of those around us? Is our, like why are we here? Why are you and I even here?
TikTok.
Why are we here?
Just kidding.
There you go. That's what it is.
Just admit lipstick on TikTok. I don't know. I guess in a general way, I think, like, I don't know if there's just general one purpose. Like, I think you could, you know, live life to be happy. I think, like, let me reorganize my thoughts on that because what am I trying to say?
It's a weird question, right? Because,
yeah,
what perspective, too? Like,
yeah,
from
what
the
perspective
planet's
you want to take?
Perspective?
I could look at it as a way of, you know, my purpose as a, like, singularity of my own and taking it out of a world, but like maybe my purpose is just, you know, going through this life and figuring, you know, different things out for me as a human being and what that happiness could be. And I think that does definitely changes. I don't know,
life is like a puzzle and you have to like put it together.
Yeah, we're putting it together throughout the whole time. That's why I'm having a hard, like, I can't just think of one purpose.
Yeah,
my life has had.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, when you go through a bunch of different things, I think that those purposes change.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it's just to be happy either.
Yeah. That seems kind of too arbitrary.
Although that's also something really, really great to achieve.
Right. Because if you're happy, then that usually means that you're bringing happiness to other people. Mm-hmm. So then is it to affect the lives around you in a positive way, and then in that sense that could be different for everybody. For an artist, it could be to create great art. For, you know, a mother or father, it could be to raise, you know, children who feel loved. For a scientist, it could be to cure cancer.
Yeah. And I think more aligned you are with whatever that is for you,
yeah,
I think that's lifting your vibration, and that's what's vibrating out and attracting whatever into your life.
And then, you know, they say that the key to happiness, because, you know, that's the one thing that I think everyone's searching for, right? We're all, like, literally all we want is to be happy. Now, the way that we go about it is different for everybody
different,
and often misdirected. But the one that really resonated with me was, I forget his name, but he said that generally human beings are happiest when they feel they have a purpose. Yeah. Like we're like, you know, we are human beings that are doing, even though they say don't be a human doing, be a human being. But do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, like we want to feel like we're contributing to.
But is that coming from an ego? Because are we like, is our ego just saying that we have to contribute to something to be important?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know.
I mean, we should like be contributing something somehow, right? Even if, again, it's just bringing happiness and joy to, like, your friends and people around you.
Yeah, I think...
Like, you shouldn't be, like, sucking, the life out of the world.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. We're being vampires to one another. That'd be horrible. But I also feel like if you're, like, if you're just – if you're getting more aligned and you're radiating that, you're going to bring happiness to other people.
Yeah.
You know, if you're controlling and you are going to be that vampire, you've chosen that side to do that. And so you're going to, you know, limit yourself that way.
Yeah.
But, oh, shoot. What was I going to say? I just completely brain farted. Sorry.
Well, we can – I know that we have to wrap this up on the soonish side. Oh, no, we're good. We got to, wait, no, we're not. We have 5 minutes. 8 minutes. Ernie, we have 8 minutes. You said we have 8 minutes.
I can come back.
So now that we have 8 minutes, let's talk about like a very, very, this is a very serious subject. What is your ideal? How did you know I wasn't going to be serious?
I can tell.
What is your ideal penis size?
Ideal just because,
you know,
size.
People are going to be like, what's all this existential talk about? Like, when are they going to talk about dicks? Here we are. We're talking about dicks. Alexis, what do you think about dicks?
Well, the key to happiness of a nice dick. The purpose of my life is dick size. It's your cock raider. I got to tell you. Let's see. Perfect size. I don't know, like, really size-wise, but, like, you know, nothing that's too big or too small, to be honest. Because, like, too big, I'm only going to be able to do that every so often.
Like you're
pray for my vag tomorrow.
Tomorrow with Dredd, yes. Who we love.
I love him dearly.
Everyone loves Dredd. But your vagina might be like, can we only love him, like, once every couple of months?
Once every 5 years, apparently. That's where I'm going for right now. shit. But I forgot what I was going to say right now.
Oh, your perfect dick size.
Jeez. Caught on Dredd. I totally forgot. You know, just something that fits nice. Definitely probably bigger than 6 inches. Smaller than 10, maybe.
That's a fucking big range.
I don't know. Seven to nine? Okay, 7 to 8? I don't know.
Anywhere between there.
You know what it is? I think I get so much porn dick. I don't even know what, like, what is the average dick out there?
Yeah, that's true. You're definitely not, you're not dealing with average dicks on a daily basis.
No. And I'm like, you know, I've been single for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm happy to get a worm once in a while. That's not on camera. I'm like, oh, what are we going to do here? What is this?
I mean, why do you think that, you know, we were talking earlier about how, you know, we were talking earlier about Dredd, and, you know, Dredd's been on my podcast. If you guys haven't seen the interview, go check it out because it's great. He's so lovely. But, you know, that podcast did insanely well, and my audience is 96-98% men. So generally, male performers don't perform terribly well on my show. They usually get much lower.
The only
numbers.
Time they don't perform well?
I know.
The only time they have to talk. Oh, shit. Sorry, guy.
Can I just buzz my dick out? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But Dredd did, like, so well. It's one of, like, my top episodes. Like, people are just crazy about him. And it's just so interesting to me that people are so obsessed with his dick. And I just think, like, it must mean – I think it means more to men and women because, like, society in general, we're so obsessed with penis size than just, like, you know – the insertion situation and satisfying a woman. It seems to suggest, like, power and virility and, like,
yeah, it's I've seen a lot of penises come my way, whether it was invited in the on the OF or unsolicited on my Twitter dick. Thanks, buddy. I've seen a lot of dicks, and I don't know why. I don't know. And is it just – and something I got to wonder, is it just an American culture that's obsessed with dicks, or is it, like, obsessed with dicks all over the place? But yeah, dick size is
everywhere. I think it's everywhere.
Such a like obsession. And I've seen all sorts, like really tiny, like, you know, micro penis with huge fucking balls. And it's like, and they have like these huge cum loads. And you're like, oh my God. And then you'll have a massive size dick with a small set of balls and like, you know, watery. Like, where's that cum load? Jesus, dude. Maybe leave that fucking thing alone. Get some zinc and eat a banana, buddy. That was not impressive.
I would not expect a large set of balls with a micro penis.
Oh, right? Sometimes, yeah. I'll even have them like wrap their balls up around their little micro penis and like, you know.
Do you get a lot of like micro penis?
Oh, like, I get all sorts. Ratings? I get like, you know, well, I get all sorts. You know, yeah. I have my sissy boys and.
So the micro penises, do you generally find that, sorry, I don't know why I'm obsessed with this topic. Generally find that those guys like are looking for SMH, like small penis humiliation, or do they?
Majority, I find.
Are they? Okay. So it's so interesting.
Majority, I think they do get off on that. I mean, I think they've taken their dick and they're like, okay, this is what's going to get me off.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that was their first exposure to sexual pleasure with somebody, you know, humiliating them in some sense. And that just clicked off in their head.
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes people's first sexual experiences or experiences can influence what their fetishes may be later on, I think. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a psychologist. Don't quote me on that. But like from what I've seen, I just feel like, you know, when I start talking and I've had fans, you know, some of my fans have been with me for now almost 12 and a half years. He'll be 13 in July.
Wow.
And they remember me from all sorts, Bang Bros days, all that stuff. But yeah, the micro penis with the big balls is always exciting. But all shapes and sizes.
But they're all worthy of love.
Oh, they are. They are.
So we all adore them. So much love. Maybe your purpose in life is to just love all the penis.
You know, thinking about it, like I was thinking about, I do think about purpose of life, you know, here and there, and when I'm by myself. But I think like sometimes my purpose in life is I provide a very safe space and a happy place for people. Mm-hmm. Especially I feel like when they come over to my house, people learn to relax. They can feel to be themselves. My fans across the line, my cucks, my sissy boys, all those guys, they feel comfortable to share their fetish with me.
Mm-hmm.
Or my friends feel comfortable, you know, relaxing at my house and they can let go. And if that's my purpose, to provide that for people where they can kind of engage in their own healing process and realize that they have that within themselves, then let that be my purpose.
This is such a great topic, and I know we don't really have time to go into it, but I love talking to sex workers about how the therapeutic benefits that they often provide for people who, you know, a lot of people have sexual hangups because we're so like, we stigmatize that conversation so much. And sex workers are like, you know, the one people that guys know aren't going to judge them for the most part, unless they want them to.
Unless
if you want them to judge your penis, they will.
And then there's that conversation.
Dick rate, they're $125. But if you just want to feel good about your dick, we can do that too.
Like we can do whatever you want. I think there is something with that. I think we provide that safe space for people to be themselves and, you know, try on panties and dance around and really be whoever they want to be at that you know, particular moment. And it's kind of sad that they haven't been able to feel that comfortable with the people that they love or the people that are in their life that love them.
Yeah.
You know, that they feel that fearfulness is still there.
Yeah.
You know, and if I can recommend not only just communication, but comprehension has to be on the other side of that. You can't just communicate and have great communication if you can't listen either.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know, so both of those go hand in hand. So right and left hand, you can't.
Yeah.
You can do really well with one.
Yeah.
But you love to have two. A lot more to grab onto. So, yeah, I love that. I really love the space that I'm able to create for my fans. I love the space that I'm able to create for my friends, my business friendships and relationships out there as well.
Yeah.
And I just would like to improve on that. And improving on that is really just improving on myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Alexis, thank you so much for coming by. Always such a pleasure. I know we could talk for so much longer, so we'll just have to do this again.
Okay. Twist my arm. I will come here and talk to you anytime. Oh my God, I love it. I love being around you.
Oh, thank you. Me too. Hugs. Can you tell everyone where they can find you online?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram, Alexis Fox Live, Twitter, Alexis Fox, my OnlyFans, Fox Fans, and my TikTok is now Plant Mom A Fox.
Oh my God, how many TikToks have you been through?
Actually, this is just one, but I was so disappointed because like I actually took the time to do it, and I was like, okay, let me try to do these TikToks every day. And I thought I was doing good, but you know, they just take it without any.
Yeah. Indication.
Any indication or anybody to be like, well, could we talk about this photo or talk what about this is why you took it down? So I don't have do it again. I'm fine with playing with people's rules.
Yeah.
Just have you just them across. Need to know what they are. Just need to know what they are. Yeah. They're not very clear because if I see A over here doing it and minds me and take it down, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So be clear and concise with your rules, and I'm happy to play them.
Yeah. Fuck you, TikTok. But you can find me on TikTok at Holly Randall Unfiltered, if I'm still there by this time this episode comes out. I say this all the time.
I know, right? We all know never what know. Like.
At Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter. Just go to hollylinks.com. You can find all of my social media links. And, of course, patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered to support the show. Thank you guys so much for being here. See you next week. Thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world to me. A great way to show your love is to rate and review my show, and an easy way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then led to where you can leave your review. And if you can afford to financially support this podcast, you can do so for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. This is where you'll get access to the live streams of my interviews, bonus Q&As with my guests, access to my fine art photography and behind the scenes of my shoots, free memberships to my not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, and so much more. You can watch the video versions of these podcasts at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/hollyrandallunfiltered. Join us every Sunday evening for episode premieres where you can chat live with myself and other HRU fans as we watch the newest release together. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. All of my social media links are at hollylinks.com.